welcome to 216, a Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, your agent, joining you again for episode number 11. Today on the show, we've got Magna Hands, and I say this every week, it's a good one. It really is. I had a great conversation with Magna, so I don't want to waste too much time and kind of get to that conversation, because it's a really good conversation. Magna is open and honest, and it's really good. Learn a lot about Magna. So kind of what's going on, right? Like, main tournament just finished today. We had Andy take third place over GFE. I think that was just a two-game series. I didn't get to watch much of it, but GGs to both Andy and GFE. Andy having won, I believe, two main tournaments already, finishing third here. So, you know, there's a reason why he's as big as he is and consistently puts up huge results. You know, top three, you can't be too disappointed with. GFE with fourth place finish is pretty awesome. That's the highest that GFE's ever finished. Close to GFE, really, really proud of him. Really excited for his run. This tournament was really, really good. And, you know, GFE doesn't always have the best of luck, and he'll tell you that for sure. But, you know, you got to get a little lucky in these tournaments. And he ran really hot and he played really well. So GG's to GFE taking fourth place in the main tournament. As far as the winner goes, we had Obscure take game one, Schulzer take game two. I think game two was inverted. Game one was tournament hard. And game three was Key Sanity. And it's that weird tournament Key Sanity. I didn't really understand this mode. It's keys, but it's not all dungeons. And the CT, the Castle Tower keys, are vanilla, and the GT Big is vanilla. Well, the GT Big is in GT, not vanilla. The GT Big being in GT is whatever. That's fine. The Castle Tower smalls, I don't know. I don't understand that one. Why are those vanilla? It's not all dungeons. If it was all dungeons, we did Fad Keys in the league season four. And, you know, Fad Keys kind of was a way to eliminate having to do Castle Tower small key hunt. It's all dungeons. In a regular open 7-7, defeat Ganon, the CT smalls being vanilla, I just didn't understand that. Regardless, that was a game three mode. Won't break the entire match down, but it went back and forth. As Obscure is a, I don't know how to describe it. He has a unique way of playing. He skips a lot of stuff. He makes very bold decisions. They worked out really well this tournament. And Schulzer, just really clean execution, pretty straightforward router compared to Obscure. And it was a really entertaining race. Schulzer ended up getting silvers off of Lumberjack, which weren't required really, weren't even needed. He thought that was his bow. The other bow was in the Meyer big chest, I believe, or it was in Meyer somewhere, which Obscure got as Schulzer was climbing Aga Tower. What turned out to be go mode in the seed was the Master Sword, which was at the top of GT. So they did the entire seed on Fighter Sword, the GT Big Key being in Tile Room. So it's like Speed Gaming Chat's wet dream to have a GT Tile Room and a Master Sword go mode at the top of GT. I think Schulzer said that the other two swords were Left Side Swamp. Not 100% sure. I know they full cleared GT, so there had to be another sword, I think, because of Turtle Rock logic. There was like a Turtle Rock small on Bombo's tablet, so you had to get that, which was a crystal you needed logically to have four keys to beat that dungeon. Anyway, it was a really fun series to watch. The last match was really good. I would check it out if you can. It was on the Main Speed Gaming channel, and we have a new champion of the main tournament 2022. It's your life form. So GG's to him. Really, really impressive run. Obscure in the group stage had to beat CS Tutor, which he did 2-0, Iker, which he did 2-1, Humba 2-1, Zero Rush 2-0'd, Andy 2-1, and then was able to take 2-1 over Schulzer. Schulzer's route to the finals was through Chloe Prower 2-1, Jet 082, who's a former champion, and 2-0'd Jet, 2-0'd Moogle Charm. Took E-Train to 3 and then beat GFE 2-0. So really good run there for Schulzer, and is bound to win one of these things sooner or later. I know he was in the league finals. Was it two seasons ago with his team? I think Triple Dino Disasters. I imagine we'll see Schulzer back again competing for a title. Speaking of the league, there is a league Season 5 reveal stream Sunday, August 7th at noon Eastern, where the admins are going to give all of the details on season number 5. So if they're revealing it on August 7th, that means we're not too far away from league start time. I don't know the dates yet. We'll find them out Sunday, August 7th. Definitely check that out. That's going to be on the league channel, which is twitch.tv/the ALTTPR league. I wonder if they ever get ALTTPR league back. We lost that. I say we, but it's them now. I wonder if they ever get that channel back. Hopefully they do. So league just around the corner. Hoping to do something fun for the league. Still kind of dreaming things up. Hoping to have some 216 podcast teams that can give some reports and updates on their season as we go. So I'll put more information in the Discord when we get closer to the league start. But if you're a listener of the show and you're going to be joining the league and you want to be a part of the 216 podcast, we're going to find a way for you to do that. So keep an eye out on the Discord for that. And of course, you can join the Discord by visiting 216pod.com. It has a link to the Discord. And of course, you can subscribe to the show there. Cross Keys tournament's going on. Week number 2 is just about finished. I started 1-0. Got paired against Andy. That's always fun. Always exciting to race Andy. Pretty bummed about the way it went. Not that I lost, but the way I lost. You know, Andy's a tough opponent, and I knew going in it was going to be tough, and I knew that I know that I could beat Andy, but I knew that it would be a tough victory to grab. And the seed we got was pretty interesting. I played it all right at the beginning. We had pretty early boots. I got the boots around 20 minutes, and things just sort of unraveled for me when I went to Hookshot Cave, and I had a hell of a time trying to hover it. And I just couldn't hover it. And I was like, come hell or high water, I'm going to hover this damn cave. Because Andy's, you know, a very well-known hoverer. And if I'm leaving something there, then I feel pretty behind. But what made it worse is that I wasn't able to get the hovers. And so I got pretty flustered from that. I didn't have like a sword or a hammer or anything. So I had to rely on my cape and half magic and fire rod for most of the seed that I played, and I ended up missing out on pod. I forgot to mirror on top of Death Mountain, and that had a sword and of course the hammer. So I missed out on those, and I ended up going to a bunch of different dungeons with no weapon that I could finish the dungeon with, like these down in Hera. And then I just kept dying. I followed the logical progression, which was you had to go to Desert Palace to take, I believe it was like the bumper connector to the Dark World. I had boots, but no flute. It's slow as hell. It was like the only way that I knew how to get to the Dark World. And it puts you out on top of Bumper Ledge. And if you come off of Bumper Ledge, there's a murder dactyl waiting for you there. And if you have like green mail and 6 or 7 hearts and it hits you, it does a bit of damage. And I just kept dying. I also went into mire and I only had the fire rod, and I got hit by a wizrobe and died in the front room of mire 2, and that felt really bad. So I wasted time there. And then I went back to mire again because it was on the way to the Dark World, and I was doing the cutscene chest, and I didn't have an item to kill the wizrobe, and I kind of blinked and it killed me. And so I again wasted a whole bunch of time in mire, and I just felt terrible. And then I was like down to my last location, which I had to navigate through the Dark World to Spiral Cave, and I had no more magic left, and I was on 3 hearts, and I was done. It was like an hour and 15 minutes in, hour 20 minutes in, and I forfeited. I hate that I didn't continue, but the seed had beaten me, and there's so many things I hate about it. The loss is the least of my worries. I don't care that I lost. I care how I lost. I care that I got beat, not necessarily by Andy, but by the game. The game defeated me, and I let my mistakes snowball into what eventually took me down, and it was really frustrating, and I felt super bummed, and I, you know, started thinking about the stuff that we talk about on the show, the tilt, the how do I get over it? I think the good news is I've been able to manage it. You know, the first feeling is like, I'm never playing this again. I'm quitting the tournament. I'm doing, you know, I'm like, I'm embarrassment. I went on to do some ladder races and got smoked on the ladder. Did a race last night where, again, last location, some stuff, and just got railroaded. And, you know, I'm managing. So the podcast has helped. The podcast has helped. I, you know, frustrated for sure. And that's okay. now I'm 1-1, and I'll probably have to face against like Wall Cakes next with my luck. We'll see. We'll see who I face in the next week. Kaz Boots tournament's still going too. I think like officially just started, but people started playing right away. The admins allowed that. I've been restreaming a lot of races. I went like 4 or 5 days restreaming a race a day of the Cross Keys tournament and the Kaz Boots tournament. And I got to tell you, I'm having a blast doing the restreams. I think I found my calling, really. I'm really enjoying restreaming almost more than I am racing. So expect to find some more Fear Agent restreams over on twitch.tv/FearAgent_ for both the Kaz Boots and the Cross Keys tournament. I think I'm going to be restreaming Willard versus Chelsea Lynn on Tuesday. So come check that out. That's going to be a fun race to watch in the Kaz Boots tournament. A lot of good races going over there. So, check that Discord out. And remember, if you do see me restreaming a race and I am solo on comms, we have a open door policy here at 216 Pod. Just join the green room and shoot me a ping in the green room chat, and you can comm a match with me. The only requirement is you're not an asshole. So I feel like everyone here that listens to the show meets those requirements. But yeah, doing a lot of restreaming over on my Twitch channel. So make sure you're following. Had a lot of support, had a lot of raids, had a lot of viewers. It's been pretty cool. I'm really appreciating all the love I'm seeing over there. So outside of the racing world, saw Thor Love and Thunder. Didn't love it. That's kind of all I'll get into. Big fan of the Thor series that Jason Aaron wrote with Gore the God Butcher. The series that he did in the comics was amazing. Movie didn't quite match that. Big Marvel fan, big MCU fan. One of my least favorite MCU movies so far, though. It's funny. It's okay. Had some good performances. Really liked Christian Bale. You know, had decent humor, but just didn't quite hit it for me. Enjoyed Ragnarok a lot more, but I'm wasting way too much time. We've got Magnet Hands on the show today, and I've loved everyone that has come on the show. I loved all of the conversations that we've had. Magnet, I think, is my favorite conversation. And that's not taking anything away from anyone else that's been on the show. But Magnet, the conversation I have with Magnet's really good. Magnet gets really honest about some of his struggles with mental health. And we talk a little bit about his dad and his dad passing. And it gets really deep and personal, which is crazy because we're talking about Link to the Past Randomizer, right? But this is kind of why I love the show. Mental health is super important to me, and trying to remove the stigma, even in the small fraction of the voice that I have to the people, you know, it's a very small community here. That's fine. But if I can help in any way take away the stigma that is talking about mental health, or the fear of talking about mental health, or the fear that people have of sharing about their mental health, I want the podcast to be a spot where people aren't afraid to share that and are willing to be open and honest and share their struggles, because so many of us are going through the same thing. And if we normalize the idea that we can get healthier mentally, then I think we all benefit. You know, a lot of times depression comes and it takes you down and it tells you that you're alone, and having a community that can be opened to lifting each other up when we struggle with these depressions. You know, we all struggle when we lose races, and we all have our own way of dealing with that kind of thing. And I was embarrassed that it even caused me to be depressed in the past. I was always embarrassed about that. Talking with a counselor, talking with a professional helped me kind of overcome those ideas that it's not okay to feel those ways. Anyways, all I'm saying is Magnet is open and honest, and I really super appreciate that. And again, the idea that we're not alone in this, and you're not alone, and many of us are feeling the same way is, I don't know, it helps. It really does. So yeah, so it's a good conversation. And there's other stuff that we talk about. We talk about fighting games. Well, you know what? Forget it. Let's just get into it. We don't need me to tell you what the conversation is. Let's just get to the conversation, because it's a good one. I'm super excited to have today's guest on the show, because I can't think of anyone that came into the community on fire more than you, Magnet. Like, I remember the first time I played you was on the cross keys ladder and I lost. And I'm like, yo, who the fuck is Magnet Hands? Like, you know what I mean? You know how that happens when you're like, because I've been around for a few minutes. And I know a lot of people in the community, but when you lose to someone that's like you'd never heard of and you're like,
right,
damn, like what happened there? So I'm like trying to ask around, like, has anybody heard of this Magnet Hands? Who's Magnet Hands? Like, no, don't know who Magnet Hands is. And then, you know, whenever you're a decent runner, like I would say I'm decent, and you lose to someone that's new, especially in a mode like cross keys, you're like, what is going on? And then I watch your VOD, I'm like, no, this dude is legit. Like, it was no fluke that he beat you. So, Magnet, what was your introduction to ALTTPR?
Oh, man. I want to say that happened in January of 2020. I was in a bit of, let's say, a lull. First off, I want to say thank you for having me on the show, Fear.
Oh, it's for sure.
It's an honor. And I was kind of in between Z1R, actually. I was thinking of playing Z1R, but one day I watched the race. I don't remember what the race was. And I was like, this is what I want to do, because this is the game that I do play, vanilla. But it looks better rando to me than Z1R. So when that happened, and then when COVID hit all of us, you know, in America, that's when I took the time to train. I actually started training on my own. Nobody knew what I was doing. And I used the Xbox 360 controller.
Oh, gross. Okay.
On a MacBook.
Oh, man. Playing on a MacBook with a 360 controller. So how long did you play offline before you started jumping into races?
That was about, because I tried a race, I want to say in August with Link to the Past Ken, because I finally decided to just say, you know what, let me jump into Discord and be like cordial with people. So what I used to do is I used to just take ladder seeds, because I found the ladder by mistake. And so I found it. So I would just take seeds. I didn't know how to gin them up. And then I would just try to get better times than that. And
how did you find the ladder then?
So I have this way about me where I do my research, you know what I'm saying? So I looked up everything rando that I could find, and somehow Google led me to the ladder.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And it led me to the ladder, and I was seeing all these names, and I was seeing guys like yourself and people like from all these races I was watching from like prior tournaments, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I know I'm in the right place. Like, I feel like I'm in the right place. All right, I got to train to get as good as these guys. So a little backstory on that. When I started during COVID, right, the first week before, like, we got put on lockdown, okay, I did open seeds only. It took me 4 hours to complete my very first seed.
Yeah, that's at about the, standard, at, yeah.
At the end of the week, I started getting them to 2 hours.
Damn, that's quick.
I played literally a ton of seeds for 12 hours straight that whole week. Yeah.
So you were just grinding then.
Yep. Yep.
So let's get to your, I mean, I guess, were you playing games before that? What's your gaming history? Are you into speed running? Because that's not an aspect that I know. I don't know if I've seen you run NMG at all for Link to the Past. Right. Were you always trying to do some speed runs, or what's your gaming history as far as like competitiveness goes?
Okay, that's a great question. So like my competitive spirit, I'm fighting game background, so like Street Fighter, Third Strike, ST, Darkstalkers, Vampire Savior 3, Marvel versus Capcom, the list goes on, you name it, I'll play it. Not the newer stuff, because I'm not a fan of the newer stuff. I'm more of a purist in that way, but sure. I would play those games a lot, and I've been to tournaments, and like after getting washed in tournaments, after thinking like, okay, I done beat my friends and I done beat a gang of people in this community, but not really being in the FGC like that, going to Evo was like my eye opener of how to get better, not only at fighting games, but it happened to translate through life too. So I just trained like a madman after 2006 Evo.
So 2006, you're just crushing it playing all the different fighting games that you can. What was your favorite?
My favorite at the time for 06 was Street Fighter Third Strike, but my favorite fighting game of all time is Street Fighter Alpha 2.
Okay. So I don't really know much about Evo. Can you tell me what that is?
Okay, so Evo is like, it's like where all the best of the best come from all over the world, like Japan, London, America, South America, you name it. And they host tournaments basically, like of whatever fighting game that's, how could I say it, like popular at the moment.
Sure, sure. Where was this held at?
This particular one was held in Vegas. So me being, you know, I was in the Air Force at the time. I was in the Air Force from like 2004 to 2012. So we was in Vegas on like a mini deployment, you want to say. And I'm like, you know what? I might as well sign up for this since I know I'm going to be over here. Let me, you know, let me test my skills. And let me tell you, Fear, I got washed, all right? Whatever I thought, whatever good that I thought I was, it didn't happen. I got to win some casuals. I'll say that. I got to win some casuals. But when it came to the tournament, I had no idea how tournaments were ran. It was so bad. Like, it was double elimination, and I didn't know it was double elimination, so I didn't even play the second time for, like, some of the tournaments. So...
Oh, man. It's so fun when you go like, oh, man, I'm getting really good at this game. I'm getting really good at this game. I'm beating all my friends. I'm beating people I don't know. And then you go to like the big leagues and get smoked and kind of like, oh, my gosh.
Yep.
I had no idea. And so 2006, I mean, that's still early internet days. I feel like you're probably not playing. I didn't even know if Street Fighter 3 had, I doubt it even had online play at that point, right?
Oh my goodness, I don't even remember when the online for that came out, but it was a big deal when it did. I can't remember if it was 08 or 09 when Third Strike Online came out, but they used to have this client called GGPO. So GGPO was like, you know, Fightcade right now. I don't know if you're familiar with Fightcade, but basically as a client, if you download it, you can get like all the games, all the ROMs for it, and any fighting game you want to play, you can play it from like Mortal Kombat 1 to like Marvel versus Capcom 1. They just put like rollback for Marvel versus Capcom 2. So you can challenge each other on it, but it used to be GGPO. And I didn't know nothing of that. I'm not as tech savvy nearly at 20 years old as I was now.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
But those were the options.
Did you grow up mostly playing fighting games, or what's your history with Zelda? Were you playing Link to the Past back in the day? Were you playing Zelda 1? What was your introduction to Zelda? Where does Link to the Past fall into it, or was it completely out of your frame of reference?
You know, that's a great question. I can honestly say, we used to play where I'm from in the Bronx. Like, we were like a little community in our apartment. So we were always playing, if it wasn't fighting games, it was always multiplayer games. And I didn't always get a chance to play games by myself. So I had never had the chance of playing Zelda early on until about, I'd say, when I got to middle school, when I was 11 or 12. And one of my good friends, Adrian, he had put me on to the Legend of Zelda franchise, because that was his franchise that he loved. And I started playing it, and I remember only really one thing about that first run. I remember getting to Tower of Hera, falling to Moldorm, and saying to my friend, yo, I cannot do this. If I am not beating somebody up for my frustration, Moldorm is not going to keep making me fall. So I used to have no patience with games like that, like,
sure,
at all.
Sure. So it was more of the fighting game thing. So you're playing Street Fighter 2, Mortal Kombat, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, any fighting game that existed back then, I played it. So much to the point that I can honestly say that where I was from at the time, I learned this infinite combo in Marvel Super Heroes. And there's not that many characters, there's only like 10, but Spider-Man's like the best character. And one of my good friends, he taught me how to do the infinite. So I used to go everywhere in the arcade. And what people don't realize about arcades, like in New York City, the arcades used to be dangerous. So I'm in like dangerous spots all the time, looking for challengers to play. And then people in my neighborhood used to call me Spider-Man because I like learned my friend's techniques and started like stealing them.
So when you pull out this like infinite combo, are you worried that it might actually get physical?
Yeah, most of the times, yes. But like you're on guard. You know, like if you've seen it happen once, you know that it can happen. And unfortunately, you know, I've seen it happen to other people. I haven't, you know, had to deal with that as much per se. And notice I said as much. That kind of happened as as I grew up, but like younger, that didn't really happen.
Okay. So, man, the arcade life is just something that I haven't really talked with anybody on the show yet, but right. You and I are of the age where we had the arcades. Now arcades right. in the States are almost non-existent, or they're very niche.
Yeah.
Like here over in Seattle, we have like GameWorks, which is like a giant arcade.
Wow, that's dope.
But so were you spending a lot of time in the arcades then?
Oh, let me tell you, because all right. So almost, I'd say 85% of my childhood, if I wasn't playing basketball, I was in the arcade.
Yeah. Was it all fighting 85%. Games? Because, I mean, the arcades back in the day had everything. Like right, my big thing in the arcade was NFL Blitz.
Oh, yeah. NFL Blitz was fun.
Yeah. I played the shit out of NFL Blitz in the arcade. And then, like, I was big into Daytona USA. That was a lot of fun. But I felt like, for me, Street Fighter, I enjoyed casually, and Mortal Kombat and stuff I enjoyed casually. But I would just get my ass kicked by... Right. People like you
right.
know how to. So no. it was almost like discouraging for me to play those fighting games with strangers. Was it mostly fighting games, or what were you branching out to?
No. It's all right. So that's another great question. We had everything. So you name it, we had it. And like Galaga, Centipede, mm-hmm. Pac-Man.
Yeah.
They had Cruising USA, which is still one of my favorite mm-hmm. favorite racing games to this day, where you had to sit by the wheel and actually yep. steer the wheel and change the gear, you know. They had NBA Jam.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. They had pinball machines. Like, they had gumdrop machines. They even had, you know, the crane machines where that like uh-huh. I always used to say this, they jerk you for your money. Like if anybody who's listening to this, you ever go to a crane machine anywhere in the world, don't play it. They gonna get you for your money. Like
yeah. You're not lying. All right, so you go to Evo, you get your ass handed to you, you kind of get, you know, introduced to the more competitive world of fighting games. Where do you go from there? Are you still interested in going to Evo or trying to compete? Are you trying to raise your game up or what are you doing?
So what happened in between, I'd say 2006 and 2009, a lot of life happened. One, I'll say I was definitely inspired by that ass kicking that I, that I got. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, when I came back, I didn't believe in buying strategy guides, because I don't know if you remember like EB Games oh, yeah. or like mm-hmm. You know, those spots, they would have strategy guides that would come to for the games. And I'm like, you mm-hmm. know what? We are not above buying strategy guides now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so before ShoryuKen.com that I knew about it, you know, I got that. And then when somebody told me about ShoryuKen, I had two places to get information from. To learn how to, you know, have the matchups there, the reasons why I'm fighting certain characters. So it became a bit more scientific at that point. It wasn't just no more, okay, I'm raw, I have great instincts, I can do this. It's like, no, we're like making a nice, you know, 5-star meal out of my skills right here. And mm-hmm. it took a while before I wanted to compete somewhere again. So Evo was not in my sights, but I ended up competing in 2009. Now, I said a lot of life happened. I ended up becoming married, you know, things of that nature. I'm no longer married. But in 2009, I went to my first anime con out in like San Jose, I want to say it was. And I got I didn't get washed, but I got beat.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the last transformation, I feel, of taking another step further, because I used to always play on pad. For those who play fighting games, most people who play fighting games competitively play on an arcade stick.
Yeah.
But you still have your rare people who play on pad, and I was still one of those rare pad players. So I lost in the tournament, but I got some praise. Dude was like, how are you converting all of this stuff on pad? And he was like, mm-hmm. I'm just like, I just practice, you know? He was like, look, you might have lost, but you're a good player. I don't want you to feel bad about this loss, because I got smoked, to be honest, but I did compete mm-hmm. in the smoking compared to like 2006.
Sure, sure.
There was another match that happened after that. It was a casual match, and I'll never forget it. It was in Third Strike. and this was what made me switch from pad to arcade. There was this couple. It was like an African-American male with an Asian woman. And they both were sharing the games, beating a bunch of, like, they went on like a nine-game winning streak or something. And they was just beating us with Ryu. So I'm like, okay, I like Ken, but Ken is predictable. And the girl washed me with Ken. And isn't she was nice. I'm not even saying that based on like me getting like I know skill regardless of man, woman, or child. Mm-hmm. This woman was nice. Like in fact, she was better than the man. I'll be honest about that.
Yeah.
So she beat me while I was Ken. I switched to Alex, but I did better with Alex. So I'm like, no, this became spiritual kind of for me now. Like how the RZA, you know, he talks about chess, the RZA from Wu-Tang, he talks about, it kind of felt like that for me. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I made the switch. And that's when I said, okay, whenever I approach anything like gaming wise or whatever, I'm going to take this approach and I'm going to go with my heart and then go with that.
Yeah. What strikes me with you, Magnet, is that I feel like, again, I'm getting to know you. You've been a part of the community for a short time, but feels to me like you're the type of person that doesn't let defeat beat you, right? Like,
right.
I struggle with when I lose, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to give up, right? Like,
right.
And I just self-pity and blah, 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 blah. You seem like the guy that's like, no, I lost. How do I get better and you know, conquer whatever it is I need to conquer? Am I right? Is that you?
You're absolutely right, but I do want to impart something as far as that. I got there because I used to be, and I'm not going to say used to, I'm still like that sometimes where I would get defeated and be like, yo, I can't do this. You know, like I think me becoming that type of person came from, okay, I'm not going to continue, but I'm like, if I'm not going to continue, I can't play the thing that I like the most or do the thing that I like mm-hmm. the most. So I have no choice but to face it. So like, I totally understand where you're coming from as far as that, because when playing, especially a game like A Link to the Past randomizer, I heard this on your last podcast with Clear Mouse, it's like, if you're winning 50-50, if you're losing 50-50 checks, and then like you might be playing like bad and then you like double it on yourself. It's like, I totally get how that feels. That's not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's really not. And when it's time for you to come back, whenever that happens, take as much time as you need. That's how I feel about it, because you're going to come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after 2009, you feel like you've gotten better at the games, but you decided to move to Stick. Are you still competing then? Are you still trying to go to Evos? Are these still happening? Like, how current is Evo? Is it still
Evos
going on?
Evos are still going on, to my surprise, because I thought they were shutting Evo down, but Evo is still going good. I'm not as much into them because now I'm making music. I co-own a record label, you know. Mm-hmm. So between merging both of my passions together with, you know, creating music and playing games, I feel like I found the nice space. But there is a part of me, Fear, and I'm not going to lie to you as I'm saying this to you.
It's still there.
The warlord is inside and the warlord is going to go compete somewhere.
Yeah. So when did you stop with fighting games being like your primary focus?
That's a good question. Actually, man, I don't even know the real answer to that, but I can say probably last year, maybe.
Oh, okay. So recently. Yeah,
it's real recent. Yeah, because I was still going to places and going to tournaments for like Smash Brothers and stuff. Mm. But like when it switched was literally, I'd say in the last two years.
Around COVID.
Yeah, right around COVID. A lot of things happened in COVID. I'm not going to get too, you know, super deep about it, but I do want to talk about this. Like mm-hmm. my father has passed away in 2020. Not because of COVID, but he passed away in 2020, like a couple of weeks after his birthday. And after that, like my life changed, like from music and everything changed. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a break for a while. Mm-hmm. And so with that happening and now, you know, me coming back full circle, like right now, I feel like I'm able to do these things again. And I'm like, all right, let's get back into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you, how did it change? We don't have to go too deep, but like, what was it about your father's death that like changed you? Was like, I need to like the realization that life is short, or you know?
No, that's a great question. Thank you for asking that. Well, where I'm from, you know, one thing is certain, and it's not really good, you know, and it's death. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So I'm quite used to that, and a lot of my family members, you know, are no longer with us. And so when it happened with him, like, I lost my best friend, you know.
Yeah.
I really, really lost, like, he passed away, but it took me time to like dig in deep spiritually. So how that like transformed for me was I didn't realize how much I wasn't pouring into myself the way I thought I should be, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, certain relationships are, you know, falling by the wayside, you know, certain things show themselves, true people show their true colors. And I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, this is going on. Oh. So a lot of Hurt Knights, a lot of Zelda, you know, y'all guys, I literally tell y'all this, whoever it is that I'm talking with, you guys saved my life. Like, seriously, because I was contemplating, you know, not being here.
Yeah.
Past that point. And, you know, my team, he came from team, Ahapaquad, Average Frustrated Gamer, had many talks with them, you know, and many other people throughout the community. And you guys literally, and I love y'all and I thank y'all for allowing me to be in y'all community and make me feel like I am a person. So those feelings, as I'm starting to go day by day and learn what it is to how it is to be myself, I'm like, okay, it's like I'm relearning how to live again.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being born again in a sense.
Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you, I love that the fact that we're going to have this conversation because, you know, mental health is super important. And, you know, suicidal thoughts have definitely something that I've had to struggle with in the past, and I've seen the counselor and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And this game can be tough when you know, this random game, when you're super competitive, it can be tough. And I always felt silly that it would bring me down and things like that and deal with the depression.
Right.
But the one thing that I love, especially doing this podcast now, is that we find our stories are so similar. You know what I mean? We find people that are going through the same shit that we've been going through, and you realize, oh man, like, you do have people that care about you, and there's, like, you know, reasons to keep going, and that you are important. So the fact that you were able to find friends in the Link to the Past community that helped you through that is just, to me, super rewarding. I love to hear that story.
Oh man, thank you, man. It's been one of the most rewarding things I've ever did in my life. I'll be super, super honest, because there's no feeling like this. And I want to say thank you for sharing what you just shared, because mental health is very important. We need to be able to have places that we can go to seek help. Mm-hmm. I sought help last year myself. And, you know, I have a safety plan that's with me right to my left. Mm-hmm. So if I'm ever thinking like that, which I haven't really thought about that since last year, a suicide, that's what I mean by, you know, that. And I look at it and I follow the steps. So if I feel depressed, I follow the steps. I make sure I follow the steps, and it brings me, it grounds me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, it's crazy that this old game, you know what I mean, has created a community for us to be able to express this stuff. So that's awesome. That's awesome. So let's get to how you found the community, because you know you're deep into fighting games,
right?
And you said you saw Z1R. Where did that happen?
That was on YouTube. So I didn't. You know, silly me, I forgot to answer a question that you asked me earlier as far as the speed gaming thing. So how speed running like got into my attention, when I used to live in my last apartment before the one I'm at now, I used to smoke weed. I don't smoke weed no more. but like, I used to smoke and watch speed runs. That's all I would do at one point. Like, I would make music or just watch speed runs. And for some reason, I was watching like Kaizo Mario World, people speed running that. And I already knew about it like regularly, but people were speed running it. And they had the GDQs, you know, and then there's a GDQ happening I believe SGDQ is next week, I believe.
Yeah.
And I would watch it. And just with sitting still, because it's hard for me to sit still normally, but when I used to, you know, I used to smoke, I just sit still and I watch. And I'm like, this is interesting. I like seeing people like bash their head in and showing their true skill, trying to use their, I'm like, it feels like it's something that I want to do, but I didn't find the right game. So I would try Super Mario World. I'm like, nah, it's not for me for real, but I like to watch it. And fast forward all these years from like 2016 when I first started watching it to like 2020, I'm seeing it on YouTube. You know, you got the GDQs that's happening. So I'm like, okay, I get to see these games. And Adirondack Rick is a runner that I fondly remember. Shout out to Adirondack Rick. And I would see him doing these things in Z1R. And I'm like, yo, this is what I want to do. So I started training in Vanilla, the blue ring route, the first blue ring route, because I think there's two blue ring routes. But I trained the first one and I got my time down, I think, to like an hour. But I wasn't using timers. I just was using the in-game time. Or like when I started timing that run, I would use my phone for the last final runs and stuff.
This was the Vanilla game?
Yes, this is the Vanilla game, but I had it like hacked on a DS. I didn't even have it on.
So you're doing Vanilla speed runs on a DS, timing it on your phone.
Yep.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you found the speed runs through YouTube, and then did you start watching Twitch then for like the GDQs, or were you watching that on YouTube as well?
I would catch them on YouTube because for some reason I wasn't wanting to catch them live. I don't even know why I was thinking like this, but I didn't want to see them live. I wanted to be able to say, okay, if an episode is finished with this, I can look at the GDQ playlist and choose another one right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at that time, I did a little bit of both in 2020. Okay. I did a little bit of both.
So around 2020 is when you sort of got onto watching Twitch a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you see Z1R and you're like, oh, maybe I can get into this. This seems like something I would enjoy because you're doing the Vanilla speed runs.
Yep.
And then you realized this might not be for me, or what was it?
It's a combination of two things. So a little backstory, A Link to the Past is my most played Zelda game, period. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize this until like when it hit me. I'm like, wait a minute. I used to play this game. Like when I got married back in 2007. And for like 6 years, at least once a year, I would try to beat that game 100%.
Mm-hmm.
To just refresh my memory and be like, okay, I'm still okay in this. All right, cool. And when I watched the Z1R race, like I told you, and then one random day I'm on YouTube on my PS4 and I see Z3R. I would always see Z3R races, but they didn't appeal to me for some reason. And then this one particular day, I just was like, no, turn the Z1R race off. I looked at the race and I was like, this is it.
Do you remember the race? Hit me.
I wish that I could. If I scroll on my YouTube, I might be able to find it. But like, that's going to be a long scrolling because I didn't see a lot of videos in 2 years.
So what was it about Zelda? What was it about Z3R, Link to the Past specifically, that you'd kind of want to go back to it? Like, because you said you played it as a kid only a little bit, right. So didn't have that same sort of nostalgia, or did it? Or was it like, no, I got to kick Moldorm's ass this time? Or what was it that kind of like brought you back?
All right. So I feel like, honestly, it's fate. I honestly feel like it's fate because the way I create music, right? And this is going to tie full circle in a second. But the way I create music, I create music using the sounds that I want to hear. I don't use the sound that's hot. I don't use what's popular. I go with my heart every single time. So my heart don't fail me. It doesn't fail me. So I just got a warm feeling seeing it. And then when you open the chest, when I was watching these guys open the chest, I'm like, they're not opening this many chests in Z1R. I'm like, the feeling of opening a chest is crazy. Like, you know, you hear that and you like, oh shit. Like, so, and then to top it off, people was going everywhere looking masterful. Like going across the light world, the dark world, and they're opening these chests. And then I saw at the end there was a collection, you know, the collection rate, and then it's 216. I'm like, that's a lot of chests. I'm like, I gotta open these chests. I'm like, so it was like a combination of all those things. Fates, the thrill of seeing people open the chests, and you know, my heart, like.
Yeah, man, I get it. I totally get it. All right, so we'll get back to Link to the Past, but you mentioned your music, which is something that, when did you start making music?
So I actually made a beat. So my mother, she bought me this keyboard. She also bought me like this CD disc changer, like when I was like a teenager, right? I say like 14, 15. And I made my first beat. It wasn't I still remember that beat because this was on tape somewhere. I used to like record tapes, like DJ tapes and stuff like that. They call them pause tapes where you record off the radio, and like I would do all types of craziness with it. Like the stuff that I'm doing now with music, I was doing that at 14 and 15, not even realizing it that I was doing it. So my first beat was 15. It was trash. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It was trash. It was on a Casio keyboard, and it was doo-doo butter. All right. but I stopped, you know, because I ended up going into the military. And while I was still in the military, you know, separated from my ex-wife, this was like 2011. September 1st, 2011 is when I made my return. I started learning how to make beats on GarageBand and used YouTube videos to help teach me while I would be going to work. Because I knew I was getting out the military at that point. And I decided that I was going to go to a school that's no longer here in New York City called the Institute of Audio Research. So I knew I was going there so I can learn about audio, like audio waves, the science, the mathematics of it. Mm-hmm. And I taught myself those things before I got to school. So how old was I at 2011? So 15-year-old first beat, my actual beat that I felt proud of. Damn, I can't even remember my age. This is messed up. 25.
Okay. So like 10 years ago.
Yeah, about 10 years ago. Yep.
Okay. And so now you've continued that. You actually started your own record label, or what are you doing with music now?
So I co-own my record label with my man, Sun Mizzo, and it's called Ryatsu Records. And we got the name from Bleach, actually, because we both love Bleach. And we feel like our spiritual pressure is way too strong that when you meet us, or if you talk to us, like in the show, if people who was the most powerful, the screen would shake and people would bow down to the person. So that's why we ended up naming it that, because that's what we represent.
All right. So before we recorded, I asked you to get me some music because I actually went to your Spotify and listened to some. And I was like, damn, we got to talk about this because this is freaking awesome. So
Thank you.
You gave us some clips. Where should we start with? I want to show people what you've got going. Where should we start with one of the clips? Which clips you want to start with?
Let's play Dance with Fire. So Dance with Fire is one of my good friends. He goes by the name of Avid. And the lovely people at Project Staircase in New York City allowed them to shoot this video. So shout out to them. And lovely singer named Zhao Lin. Shout out to her as well. And he's one of the artists on our label. And he does like rock, alternative rock. Like he's really sick on the guitar. And, you know, I want to give him his flowers. They just had a video. They just recorded like two Sundays ago.
Okay. All right, let's take a listen to this. Yeah, that sounds nice. So are you a producer on this, or is this just an act on your label?
This is an act on our label. And thank you, by the way. I love that song. It's very calming. Like,
yeah, it's real good. What should we listen to next?
You know what? Because I got a story about this. So play In There Lies the Future. And it involves the lovely community of Randall. So I'll tell you about it after you play it.
All right, let's take a listen.
Painting.
give me the story.
All right. So this one I created, you know, the last one I didn't create. So I have an MSU out and not that many people have my MSU. So if you're listening to this, if you want my MSU, just holler at me. I'll make sure you have it, called Magnet Hands at Work Part One. But I put this song in Mire. And if you think about Misery Mire, there is pain inside that dungeon. And I don't know I don't know why people like that dungeon. I mean, it's nice to it's nice when you're routing great on an execution level, but Allison and some of the others made it a thing. Like when I died in there a couple of times and they kept typing pain inside when I would die in there. Shout out to Allison, man.
That's awesome. So you did all the tracks for your MSU then?
Yes. Yes.
Oh man, I gotta get my hands on that.
Yes.
All right. What do we got next?
We got the last gym holder. I remember you asked me, you know, off stream, one of my favorites that I like. I kind of like this one because it's smooth. Let's get into it.
All right. Man, that is smooth.
Thank you, man.
Is that something you made?
Yeah, I made that. So I sample. So, you know, you know what sampling is. But for those who don't know, you know, you hear a song and, you know, you take it and you flip it and you play instruments. So I actually played the bass line on that one.
Oh, nice.
Not an actual bass, but did it via keyboard. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I had to like do that, but...
No, I'm a huge Beastie Boys fan, and they're like one of the kings of sampling. So like,
man, there's no hip hop if you don't have samples. Like I'm gonna be bold and say that. Like,
so is this part of the MSU or is this just something else that you're working on?
I should make it a part of the MSU because you know I put a video to this song. It's one of my great friends, Libby Bailu. I met her when I started working at Funkadelic Studios downtown in Times Square. And like we have a great friendship and I had this idea for a song called Madman and Mad Woman. And it's me rapping, it's her rapping as well. And I also produced the beat.
Nice. And this last one is actually you rapping, right?
Yep.
This one's called Madman and Mad Woman. Is that right?
Yep.
All right, let's take a listen.
Standing of intelligence, lovers, inhabitants, and my negligence. I left it unchecked, turp heaven sent. I'm with fear, tangling, entanglement, dangling in the pendulum, ego constraining him. Block blessings as a pure manifester. Rest assured, this world get pearl necklace. Been disconnected for a long time. Being hard on myself, my favorite line.
She had a smile on her face, found a way to hold it in. Buried it deep was the first of her sins. Can't talk about the pain, cause you know that they will judge you. All in the name of the one who says he loves you.
Fire, man. It's fire.
Yo, thank you, man. Thank you. That means a lot.
So music, it obviously plays a huge part in your life, right? Like, and you also found a way to incorporate it into the rando. Like, how is that feeling doing what you love with the game that you also love?
Oh my goodness. Whew, that's a great question. I had to take a breath to ground myself because it's really anything that I thought I was doing in life and I was like expecting success from, I have not had a greater feeling than the one I have right now, even answering this question about this, because merging both of your passions together is almost unheard of sometimes. Like, we're lucky to have one, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people might not find one, but I've been blessed to bring two together. There's no feeling that I can honestly say that's, I can't describe it. It's just like my heart is filled with joy. If I had to say anything, it's filled with joy.
That's awesome.
So much joy.
Yeah, that's super awesome. All right, so let's bring it back to Rando then.
Right.
Because, Magnet, we're running out of time. There's so much I want to get to. We might have to go a little long. So you start watching Rando, you start playing. You said you're playing Seeds offline. Then you start. Then right. You started jumping into Race Time, and then I take it you jumped right into the ladder. Is that how it worked?
Yeah. So a race that I had with A Link to the Past, Ken, and some others, after jumping into the Discord, I was using a super. What was this? Not a super NT, because I didn't get the super NT yet. The mini, the SNES mini,
the classic,
and I. Right. And I felt like I was doing well in the race, but something happened where I pressed the shortcut button and I didn't save the game, and it went all the way back to like the start. And I was like, okay, I can't do this way until I figure out the approximate setup that I need. I need to have this trump tight, like correct. So I stopped. That was in August. And then I came after buying a computer and, you know, throwing like 500 something. I sniped some. What's funny is I sniped somebody for my super NT on eBay. So we be talking about stream sniping, but I actually sniped somebody and got it. And that's how I'm playing. And I started in October. Yep.
This is October of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Like October 21st or 22nd, one of those days. Like I can't remember exactly, but it's one of those days.
So what was it like then? What was it like jumping in? Did you feel, when you're brand new into a community that has kind of developed itself at this point, you know, 2020, right. the leagues around and the main tournament's right. been going on for years and stuff. How quickly did you feel embraced, or did you find a community right away?
This is probably the fastest community I've ever felt embraced with.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a warm feeling, you know, just people seeing you play, people commenting like, oh my God, where did you come from? How did you start? And then, you know, there's the origin stories of talk about how I played. I actually won my first five ladder races, so I'm pretty sure people thought I was cheating. But for sure.
I will guarantee you people thought you were cheating if you win your first like, five ladder races, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely won my first five, but then I lost like three straight afterwards.
Right, you kind of get put back like, oh, maybe it's like, maybe it is a little bit random.
Right. So
you started, because I raced you super early on in Cross Keys of all things. Like I had been playing the game for years before I started playing Cross Keys, but you said, no, I'm going right in. Like, what was it about jumping into the fray of Cross Keys that kind of drew you in? And I without fear, apparently.
The 2020 Cross Keys tournament. Shout out to Clear Mouse, the goddess of Eastern Palace herself, and Days Cloud. Those two individuals, I can listen to them forever. And literally, as that tournament was going on, there was a couple of like races. I think they did one of the Andy Lin finals races. And I was like, Cross Keys is amazing. I'm like, oh my God, you go into an entrance and you come out somewhere else. I'm like, this is not like the regular mode. I'm like, I need this, because that's like real life sometimes. Yeah. Like you might go into a door, you don't know where you're going to come out. So that's what attracted me to it. But it was their voices that literally made me feel comfortable. And I was like, no, I'm just going to jump into the mode. Not knowing logic, not knowing how things truly worked. I'm jumping in. Yeah. That's it.
Yep. That's awesome. And no, with no fear, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The best way to learn in life, you got to jump in, baby. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. So, you end up start racing on the ladder. You come out, you know, swinging, taking people down, and you honestly don't ever really look back. I mean, you've been super competitive ever since. What was the first tournament that you entered or competition in Link to the Past Randomizer that wasn't a pickup race or ladder race?
I think it was the Mystery Pod Champ that Act of Boker. He invited me to it. I want to say it was that. It was that. And I faced Farame, and damn, I feel bad because normally I remember who I face like like it's nobody's business. But I faced Farame and somebody else. I went 0-2. I'm like 0-4 a lifetime for Mystery Pog. That thing's crazy. But he invited me, and shout out to Act for inviting me. You know, that dude's a real genuine individual. I appreciate him so much.
Mm-hmm. Then you jumped into the league season 4. I believe you played in the Open that year with... Yep. One of the most unique names, and so give us the origin story of coming together with your team and the name. What's the story behind the name?
Okay, so I had made another MSU, and this is another RIP to the great MF Doom, who's one of my teachers and the reason why my name is Magnet Hands to begin with. But like, I made a MSU for him to honor him after he ascended in the end of 2020. And for the Super Bunny Sprite, I picked this song. And as I was picking songs, because MF Doom has like a bajillion songs. Like anybody who knows MF Doom and knows his beats, like he has a bajillion beats. So as I'm selecting, I'm like, you turn into a bunny. What would make this sound crazy? Like, and then it's a beat. Like, and right now I'm being bad. I cannot remember the name of the song. But
sure.
The sample is What a Fool Believes by Michael McDonald.
Mm-hmm.
So it starts, he came from, and then it goes dun, 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 dun. So people in my chat, Ahab Pequod and Average Frustrated Gamer, they really liked it. And Ahab been wanting to be my teammate for a while. He been asking me on stream and then off stream. He was like, yo, I want to become your teammate, man. You got me. And this is crazy. People telling me that I've helped them and the reason that they're playing Rando. Like, I never would have thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And Ahab hit me up and I said, look, we could be teammates. And then AFG was cool with me. And then Ahab liked AFG and we all just like vibed together, like in each other's streams. And there the team was born.
Man, I love that name. I love it when you say it, like you can't just say it normally. You've got to, specifically yeah. You and your teammates, you got to like sing it out like Michael McDonald. You can't just like, he came no. from it. It doesn't have yeah. the same sort of ring, you know, like when we right. announced it or whatever on the reveal stream, it's like, you know, I say it as he came from. It's like, that doesn't right. quite capture the essence of what
right.
the team name really is, you know? That's awesome. What was your impression of the league that first season you played?
Oh my goodness, it was, whew, that's a beast. And I was like, oh, there's more to this than I thought, honestly. Mm. League made me a better player overall because not only did I get to play different modes, the logic that I was getting taught by, and people don't notice, Ahab Pequod is the reason why I made my very first tournament back in 2021, the main tournament, because he was coaching mm-hmm. me. And That man is an amazing logic. Like, he is a logic beast, all right? Mm. And he taught me how to get better with logic and things of that nature. So I'm playing with these guys, and I have to learn logic more. We're holding actual practices. Like we playing sports or something. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's really, you know, and I'm coming from a basketball background, too. I really used to, like, really play basketball. So I'm, like, ultra competitive, like, competition, I need it to live. That's basically how I am. But mm-hmm. the league was such a different breed, man. I loved it. I can't wait till it starts back up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Later this year, it should be. Is he came from coming back for another season or?
Oh, of course. We gotta try to make that invitational.
But do you remember what your record ended up being that year?
Oh man, what was our record? I remember me being 6-2. I want to say we was 5-3. If I'm not
okay,
was we 5-3? No, I can't. If I'm 6, wait. I can't remember. I remember being 6-2, but I forget our record. I don't know if we was like 6-3 or something like that, or 5-3, something like that. I can't remember.
Did you make the playoffs?
No, we didn't make the playoffs. We missed out. Yeah, we missed out.
Okay, so playoffs next year.
Yes, sir. I'm definitely, we going to get there.
All right. So we luckily, and Sigma, I have to do this because Sigma would kill me if I didn't. We have to look up, I mean, we have a website with all the standings. So you guys went 8-6. 8-6 last year.
We were 8-6. See, look at me not knowing numbers. And numbers is my biggest strong suit. 5-3. Wow, that's crazy. 8-6. Okay. Yeah.
So 2 losses away from making the playoffs last year, which is very doable. Because then you go on to the main tournament this last year that we haven't crowned a champion for yet. How did you do in the main tournament?
Oh man. I felt good, really good in groups. Although I had like a bunch of luck happen my way. And before the tournament happened, I didn't think I was going to make the tournament because I wasn't playing well. Mentally, I wasn't there. I just wasn't, and somehow got out with 4-2. And then I had to face he's one of my mentors, 2C+. And whew, that guy's hard to race. Mm-hmm. I will say that he's hard, very hard to race. But he knows what I do. I know what he does. And I felt good, you know, despite me having top 16 aspirations. I have to be nothing but honest here. I wanted to make the top 16. I told myself I was, and I was like, I got to get through the strongest to do it. I didn't get there. And I'm like, you know what? I played the way I wanted to play. I'm happy with my selections and choices and with my gameplay. Not mad at it. We just got to attack it next year.
I mean, making brackets is not easy to do in your first tournament. And you did right. It took me like three right. tournaments to make brackets. So
I remember you was telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's to get there that first time, it says a lot about your gameplay. What are your thoughts on competitive rando? Do you enjoy the tournament aspect? Do you like pickup races? Do you do not races? Do you just do seeds for fun? Or what's your favorite part? What is it about rando that you're digging? Is it all of it?
Oh man, it's really all of it. Probably the exception, and you know, I'll probably come back around to it, is like mystery modes. It's something with mystery that's like making me like ill right now. And I don't know why, because I used to like mystery, but like I really like all of it. I like to be a part of pickup races. I like to do so. Fun fact, I did 22 cross key seeds last week, and this was under a depression, mind you. I was very depressed last week, and I did 22 cross key seeds in a week.
Wow, that's a lot. That's bananas.
Yeah.
That's just bananas.
And I have proof. If just in case nobody thinks I don't have proof, if you want to holler at me, I did something like Ramon. Ramon has like this Age of Cross Keys thing where like he documents it. So I kind of did something similar, and I have the seeds document it. So
is Cross Keys your favorite mode?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah. So I imagine you signed up for the tournament then.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Yeah, I'm expecting big things from you. Before we get to the end, there's one thing that I want to talk to you about. You talked about creating MSUs, and you've created a bunch of MSUs, and I've watched your streams a lot with them, and they're really, what I love about your MSUs are they're creative. But
thank you.
You are one of the biggest fans of the WWE MSU that I created.
Oh, and let's get into it.
And I see you use that one a lot. So when I saw that you're using it and you kind of got a lot of the references that I put in there, I immediately was like, oh, me and this guy are going to be friends because we both have this love of, especially of the Attitude Era of the of WWE and WWF. So give me a little bit of history on what it is about WWE that you enjoyed or continue to enjoy. I'm not sure. I haven't watched wrestling in a long time, but.
All right. So first off here, I want everybody to know who was the person who taught me how to make MSUs. It is the man that is interviewing me right now. Sphere Agent is the reason why I know how to make MSU. So I want to give you a shout out for teaching me that great skill and adding to my life with joy, with bringing the music over to the video games.
Oh, that's my pleasure, man.
That was a treat. And to answer your question as far as WWE, WWF, I don't watch currently because I don't like the product. Like, I actually talked... I called this 15 years ago. I said, if WWF, WWE keep taking over all these territories, we're not going to have no competition, and it's going to suck. And this was back in 2002.
Right, right, when they bought WCW. Like, yeah.
Right, and I could just smell competition. I'm like a competition fiend, so I can smell on a foresight level what happens if it stays there or if it's not there. But as far as the Attitude Era, man, what's not to like about it? My favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels. With one of my favorite groups, I like the 97 Degeneration X. That is my favorite form of Degeneration X. They were at its rawest with China and Rick Rude. And you putting them in the castle, my God. I'm like, yes, they hold the castle. Like, I'm like, this makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big fan of DX. A big fan of New Age Outlaws, the whole, you know.
Right.
No, I love that
When I heard that as the startup, man, you know how many times I reset that thing like before a race? Oh, you didn't know? Yo, I better call. Then I'll reset it and we'll play it again.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And I definitely get a lot of joy when you're on stream because you really get into it. You know, like the Rick Rude, or no, excuse me, the Ric Flair ending.
Oh, don't let me win. If I win, there's a whole promo coming at the end of the whole thing. And I'm doing the Ric Flair promo, showing guns. I'm throwing Forky on the ground because Forky is Dusty Rhodes.
I love it, man. I love it so much.
Man, I really love that MSU. In fact, when I do come back next week for Ladder, that's going to be the first MSU I use because I need to be pumped up. So
it pumps you up, man. The glass breaking, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is there anyone you've wanted to race 1v1 but you haven't gotten to yet?
Wow. Whew, that is a great question. Wow. Because I pretty much raced almost everybody, but I haven't raced any. Wow. You know what? I haven't raced this guy in a little. I know I haven't raced Solsky. I would love to race Solsky. Solsky is a great guy. I would love to race Solsky. I don't think I've raced him. Who else? I know I want to race Dante again. It's been a while since we had our cross keys match.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't race very often lately, so.
Yeah, he's been doing his NMG thing. Shout out to him. That's a great question because I haven't. You know what? I do have one because I had to forfeit out of the 80 Keys tournament, and it was due to mental health. I would like to run one back with GFE.
Yeah,
because I was supposed to face him in that 80 Keys tournament, and because I wasn't feeling well, I told him straight up. I was like, "Listen, I'm not going to be no good, and I would rather give you a nice race where I'm feeling good. You know, you deserve that. I deserve that, and you know, he understood where I was coming from. And
yeah,
I would like to race him. Yeah,
that'd be good. Yeah, I'd like to see that. Do you have a most memorable race or like the seed or something that happened? Do you have something, a race that like really sticks out?
I got a bunch. Like the one I had with Dante, where we had Boots on Magic Bat and our Moon Pearl, we had the bunny walk for that shit. That was kind of nuts. And mind you, I didn't know anything about like the differences in cross keys logic compared to, you know, regular logic. So I was just like doing things and trying to make things happen and somehow won that. I was like, there was no way I should have won this. Like, this guy is freaking beast. So that one. And then one I had with Frostbite 3030. Oh, man. So I had a cross keys with Frostbite 3030 where my dunker tracker erased because somehow I was trying to back click. And we were 40 minutes in, and somehow I remembered almost everything and only lost to him by 3 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And I recalled damn near everything.
That's nuts, man. I can barely remember the last check I did whenever I'm doing a race. That's crazy.
See, I'm pretty bad with that. If it's down the line, I can remember it. But if it's the one check before, I'd be like, I don't remember.
do you have a favorite check or a least favorite check of the 216 checks that are available?
Oh, this is for all you Eastern Palace lovers, because I am a Zelga Dison disciple. I will gladly say that Eastern Palace can go somewhere. It can really go somewhere. I have real more choice words for that, but if y'all really want to know, come holler at me on stream about that. And then an even worse place, the Palace of Darkness.
Yep.
Love Mind it. You, things be there all the time, but it's just like, okay, cool. Any other check? I don't mind. Like, I don't mind it.
You just hate heading east, man. That's what it is. You hate
heading east. I don't know what it is. And, you know, I'm from the East Coast, so I don't know what that's about, man. It doesn't make sense.
Who are some of the folks you look up to in the community?
Oh, man. That's a great question. Zelga is one. He's taught me a lot.
Yeah. Zelga's awesome.
Like, he's taught me a lot. And I got into Danganronpa because of him. And we got a nickname on my stream called Mama Rompers. We don't even call Danganronpa by his actual name anymore. We call it Rompers. And he's gotten me to play that game just from the MSU he made for Zelda. So him, Dante, most definitely. Andy is another. Yo, I love Andy. Andy has like been one of my. He was the first streamer that I watched from ALTTPR. Mm,
yeah, that makes sense.
And so I tried to base my execution off of him, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's so many people to name, man. Like,
for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that moment where you're like, I'm actually good at this game?
You know,
have you had that moment for yourself?
Recently, actually. And it was legitimate, like, because I kind of fell into the into the thing of like, oh my God, I don't feel like I'm good. And then when you have constant people like the great people of the community saying, look, Mag, you're good. Like, I think you should relax and, you know, be easy. Don't be hard on yourself. So the more I've been practicing to not be hard on myself, it came recently during the 22 cross key seeds that I've done. And in one of those seeds, I've been losing to AFG and cross keys like crazy lately. I'm like 4-0 with the one tie against him, which I don't like ties. I might as well just consider it a loss. But yeah.
yeah.
But because I fell on Gannon. I would have won that, but I fell on Gannon and then we tied. But ever since like the 22, I didn't get a sub 2 for like 3 months. So I've been like revising gameplay as I've been practicing, you know, offline, and I'm seeing stuff that could possibly help me in future races. And so I'm like, okay, I can't wait to try this out. But more importantly, and this is something I want to talk with everybody, I have like better, way better emotional control now, because I am a rager. I get tight, like I get mad. I don't come to the game for like a couple of days. I tilt with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if we teach each other about emotional control within the game and checks and things like that, and just, you know, in life in general, a lot of us will have the enjoyment that we have. We will have, I think, like infinity enjoyment, because I've enjoyed the game way much more now than I've ever had. And that's what made me feel like, OK, if I'm playing like this, this came from the tournament. And now it's bleeding over past the tournament that I'm happy with every single game that I've played. Like, and when I mean happy, I mean like the seed could suck. The seed could make me tight. But if I'm on my game logically and I'm executing the way that I want, then how can I be mad at the result?
Yeah, you kind of answered it there. But the last question I've got for you is tilt. How do you right. deal with tilt? What's your you mentioned it a little bit there, but where are you with tilt? Because, you know, we talked about depression, and that's something very personal to me as well. Or it's like, I try so hard to not let this game tilt me to the point of where I get depressed. And that's kind of like, I think the heart of a question, why it's so important for me. You know, I'm asking you to help me, basically. Every guest, please help me get better at not tilting it when I lose. So how does Magnet Hands handle tilt?
All right. I'm gonna do my best to help you today. So with tilt, I think the way I go about it is that, how do you start your day, really, right? I think for me, it boils down to, how does your day start? If your day is starting good, okay, cool. Sometimes your day might be bad. We're not always gonna have the best days to start out to begin with. So for me, you know, I do my best and I pray. I'm a spiritual person. And I make sure I do my best to pray every morning. So if I have any worries or stresses upon me, I do my best to deal with it. And then when I come to the game, if it comes up, because some things, just because you pray, it doesn't mean it goes away. So some things might come up that may be part of the game. Some things might come up that make you mad. Like if you mess one thing up, that it may not even be part of the game. It may be because you didn't start your day off right. I want to say, first off, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I just feel like when you recognize it, allow yourself to feel that feeling. And if you got to come back to it, come back to it. Like, there's no, if you get mad, like, you're not entitled to be mad. I think the only problem that can occur from that is that if you're trying to downplay somebody's game, like, you try to say, like, oh, somebody did this, like, this is a check here. This is a, why'd you do that? This is such a bad check here. Why would you make that play? Just because you won't make that play doesn't mean that I not. Mm-hmm. Even at the basis of the highest skilled meta. So other than downplaying, I feel like your emotions are very, very valid. I feel like you're allowed to tilt, man. Like, get that off your chest, because that might be your therapy. For some people, that might be their therapy. We might not be fortunate to go to a therapist or have people to talk to get that off their chest. So you need to box or do something physical to get that off. So you got to get that off. So I feel like just telling yourself that, all right, I'm still a good person, even if Purple Chest want to have my mirror. That happened with Lin. That happened with my second my second race with Lin in my first tournament. I ain't forget about you too, buddy. He's another person I want to race again. But though, I feel like those things will it'll take you a long way, and they'll make you make better choices, like from game to game. Like, and definitely take it play to play, and then game to game.
Yeah, I think it's good to know that it's okay to be angry at times. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I've learned in counseling. Like, is I would get angry and then get angry at myself for being angry, right? Like, that's like so self-defeating. So just letting it be like, oh man, I'm bummed that I lost, and let it, you know, feel that and experience that, and then find a way to move past it. But Magnet, I feel like we could go another hour. And I feel like I had to rush through some of the stuff that I wish we had more time to get into. So you'll have to come back, right? Like, you're good coming back at some point, right?
Oh, come on, man. I would love to be here. I would love to be here. Thank you for having me, man. This has been an honor, like, seriously. Because I know we could talk for hours on end. I could just feel it. Like, it's natural between us, you know? So
yeah,
it's like,
for sure. Like, there's so many, like, we have so many common interests. Like, we briefly touched about wrestling. We briefly touched about music. And we briefly touched all that stuff. I feel like could have been each its own hour-long conversation. I really have a joy when I get a chance to interact with you. So you definitely got to come back, man.
I will, man. I'll be back for sure.
I really do want to do another episode with Magnet, because I feel like we just scratched the surface. Magnet's such an awesome dude. And if you can relate to Magnet and are struggling with depression or suicidal thoughts, I really urge you to talk to a professional or talk to a friend. And just know that people are out there that care about you, and that that you are important, and that your mental health is important. And just know that that you're special, and that that taking care of your mental health is very important. So big shout outs to Magnet for being on the show and talking about the things that he talked about. I wish I had more time with him. Maybe I should just expand the show. I don't know. Let me know what you guys think. Next episode, the final episode of the season, is Solsky. And Solsky has some really good stories. One of my favorite is the fact that we talk about the smoke match, the infamous smoke match where Smoke cheated against him, and kind of the fallout from that. So you get firsthand knowledge from Solsky on the season finale of 216 season one. Make sure you come back for that. We're going to take a 2-week break after the Solsky episode, and then we'll be back with season two. Next week, I'll be announcing all of the season two guests, and the lineup is huge. The lineup for season two is huge. Pretty excited about that. So subscribe to the show where you can, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. If you could leave us a review on Apple, that would be awesome, or Spotify. That really helps the show. Spreading the word about the show to your friends or to people in your Discord is also a way to help grow the show. The numbers are growing, the subscribers are growing. I can't, again, thank everyone enough for the love I've received for putting out this show. It's been awesome and overwhelming. So join the Discord. 216pod.com, again, has the link to the Discord and all the info about the show. Appreciate you all. Love you all. See you next week.